Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Campus Book Mart is the one and only stop for the real Southern Miss fan. From hats to sweaters and even jerseys, Campus Book Mart has you covered with all the essentials for the Southern Miss football season. With sizes from toddler to large and in charge, there is no reason to shop anywhere else. Call 601-261-9690 or visit campusbookmart.net. Campus Book Mart on Hardy Street across from USM in Hattiesburg.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is back on the air, and we're broadcasting on the road today. We are with our good friends here at Genesis of Hattiesburg, and I'm very happy to be down here. They're celebrating their grand opening of this beautiful new facility today, and this is our second trip here, Kelly. This place is gorgeous. This is not your mama's car dealership.
No, this would not be old-fashioned type of architecture. Ultra-modern, contemporary, whatever you want to call it, but beautiful indeed.
It really is. We're looking forward to talking to Kevin Mullins, who's the general manager here. Also coming up a little later on the show, we're going to talk a little baseball. We got Travis Creel because fall baseball is kicking underway this weekend with the first tournament, so we look forward to that. Got Oz scheduled for Thursday, Kelly. Kind of give us a breakdown of what he wants to get out of fall baseball, and a lot of new faces. Exciting.
Maybe it'll take care of your fix for a while.
I hope so.
Baseball fix.
It's Tuesday. That's when we go to Luke Johnson, our good friend, and give his analysis of the football game. And, well, let me just say, Luke, there's a little unrest among the natives here in Hattiesburg. Your thoughts about the first three weekends of the football season?
Hey, guys. Happy Tuesday to you. Other than the score on Saturday, it's pretty much like we said it was going to be through 3 weeks, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
And we said we wanted to be, you needed to be at least 2-2. And I think that when people look at the schedule later on down the season, you know, two out of the first three opponents have been probably your top four opponents that you'll play all year. Texas State obviously will be high on that list. James Madison may be high on that list, depends on what other people. But you knew you were going to beat Southeastern. I think a lot of people incorrectly thought that Jacksonville State would be a tougher opponent than South Florida. And third week in a row, I've told y'all, and then I think you've agreed with me, that South Florida was going to be one of the best opponents on the schedule. I guess what's frustrating to people is you jump out to a 14-0 lead, and then you give up 28 straight points, and then you turn the ball over again, inefficient in the red zone. But I'll tell you what, the key, guys, is going to be Southern Miss stopping the run, because the team that they're playing this Saturday can run the football better than what they have shown so far, and Southern Miss gave up 369 yards on the ground against South Florida Saturday.
Yeah. Well, Armandus Cooley was in a boot today. You know, the defensive tackle out of Wayne County. He's obviously out of commission for however long that's going to be. And Luke, whatever they need to shore up, they need to do it quickly because the conference play in the Sun Belt begins the very next week with the Cajuns coming to town, and that's after a bye week, I think.
And we should point out real quickly, Luke, that Ethan Crawford was not at practice today. Coach Hall had no update that he gave Dima or any of the guys there covering the game. So Ethan Crawford not at practice, and Amandus Cooley appears to be out as well.
Yeah, I saw Dima's notes on Twitter earlier. That's concerning. John White got some work the other day, but you just wonder, what Tate Rodemaker's ankle is like. And Cooley was a guy that I had pegged. I felt like he was going to have a really good year, a bounce-back year from injury last year. But this defensive line, they've just got to win. You feel like they can get some pressure at times on the opposing quarterbacks. But if you're Rich Rodriguez and you're looking at a team that just gave up 350 yards on the ground, you're licking your chops at home because, I mean, over the course of his coaching career, the ups and downs of it, one thing's been consistent, his teams have run the football.
Well, Luke, one of the departments that we really haven't talked a lot about, but really I think underperforming on these groups of Southern Miss, are special teams. A blocked field goal, things that have just been very uncharacteristic. The punting game has been average at best. How does that get cleaned up?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been a mixture. I think some of the return game, they've had a good return game, a bad return game. But, yeah, really the concerning part is the field goals, because that's when you take points off the board. Right now, Stein, you know, 0 for 3 on the year, and he's a guy that has been really good. So you got to feel like, you know, when that depth chart releases tomorrow, Connor Gibbs should be number one. You know, he came in and hit that at the end. I mean, Lawson's having a good year, 42.7, the average, and half of Luke Stewart's kickoffs have been touchbacks. So, you know, I feel like it's a mixed bag on special teams, and, you know, it's one of the things that Coach Hall did last year when he handed over offensive play calls was to be able to coach up special teams more. But, you know, you've got a special teams coordinator, which means you got a guy that that oversees all those phases, and so they got to be better on special teams because special teams, you don't get a second down in that phase, and that can be obviously points on the board, off the board, or when you get creative, you can put points on the board that you're not getting in other places.
All right, Luke, I want to ask you this while we have a few minutes left. I know everyone's looking at this game, and the chatter I'm hearing already is, oh, well, it's Jacksonville State. This will be a win this weekend. This will be easy. I think 0-3 is very misleading. They've played a really difficult schedule. They've got a veteran coach. I don't think that's going to be an easy out for the Golden Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, Coastal took care of them pretty good. Coastal embarrassed them to start with at home. That was a game that, you know, raised my eyebrows a little bit. Coastal won that game 55-27. You knew what was going to happen against Louisville up in Kentucky. But, yeah, the Eastern Michigan game, Eastern Michigan's a perennial bowl team, and they lost twice in overtime. And for, you know, Jacksonville State, it starts with their quarterback, a guy named Tyler Huff. He's a Furman transfer, so a Paladin. But he was the Southern Conference Offensive Player of the Year last year. He threw for almost 1,900 yards and also ran for 600 yards. So he's a guy through two games, obviously, they're leading, or three games, their leading passer. But he's also their leading rusher. And so for the second week in a row, Southern Miss has to deal with a dual-threat quarterback. He rushed for 80 yards against Eastern Michigan. He rushed for 101 yards against Louisville. And so far this year, he's thrown for 644 yards, completing 64% of his passes. But he's thrown three picks with four touchdowns. So you feel like they may try to, you know, get him on the edge or push the running game early so that Southern Miss can't, you know, just put pressure on him and force him into throwing more interceptions.
Well, that's something that the Eagles have not been able to do consistently, is deal with a dual-threat quarterback. But the significance of this game, look, real quick, is, you know, if the Eagles win this game, then to be bowl eligible, they'd have to win four of the remaining games, which is a lot more plausible than even just one more of winning five if they lose this game. What am I missing? The significance and the importance of this game Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, well, here's the thing for the rest of the slate. You got to be able to have confidence to win. And that's one thing that I still think is a mental hurdle for this group of guys is, apart from, you know, 2022, they haven't won. They've been close even last year. But, I mean, when it comes down to it, when it's in tight games, especially on the road, you've got to have a mental edge that says we can win this game. It's not going to be as it's been before. And so this week allows them to be able to get over that mental hurdle, because I believe there's going to be a lot of close games down the stretch here. I mean, a game that we had as a shoe-in after the Louisiana game, how about ULM on the road? They've started completely different than what we thought. So what happens is, if you went on the road this week and you get you some confidence to work on stuff during the bye week before conference begins. But for me, it is they've got to win a close game in order to believe in themselves when they face closer games throughout the season, because they weren't able to pull some of those out last year.
All right. What are your thoughts about this weekend? Give us a prediction.
I tend to think that it's going to be close if Southern Miss can contain the run. If Southern Miss gives up a lot of yards on the ground, it could be a long day. But I do think they can throw on Jacksonville State. It seems that defensively Jacksonville State's down some this year. And they've lost three in a row. Both teams have lost four out of the last five. So I think Southern Miss can win it late, perhaps on a Connor Gibbs field goal.
Important game, though, correct?
Absolutely.
So. All right, buddy. Always good talking to you. We'll have you back on the show next week.
All right, guys. See you later.
All right. Luke Johnson, everybody. When we come back, Kevin Mullins here at Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. I want to thank Luke Johnson for joining us in the first segment of the show. Get his breakdown of Southern Miss football. Important game coming up this weekend. There's no question about that. And a game that, as we mentioned, probably not going to be as easy as some fans think. But let's talk about happy things. We're here at Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, with Kevin Mullins, the car guru of Mississippi, Redskin fans. Long-suffering Redskin fan like myself.
And you said let's talk about happy things. And before I came to the show today, Kevin, I had my Partridge Family Come On, Get Happy T-shirt.
Absolutely.
And Bob says, no, don't wear that. But you're a Partridge Family guy.
All on board. Danny Bonaducci's my idol.
Now, that's another discussion entirely. The fact that the bar is so low.
Danny Bonaducci.
You got to set it low so you can hit it.
That's a name I haven't heard in a while. Danny Bonaducci.
You don't hang around L.A. law enforcement very much, Bob. If you did.
Apparently not. Well, Kevin, congratulations, man. Your beautiful building. The second time you've had us down here. We appreciate it. How are things going at the new Genesis of Hattiesburg?
Things are going phenomenal, Bob. You know, we're in the middle of our grand opening, and we're going to celebrate our grand opening for not just today, but months to come. And we invite everybody to come in and even if you're not in the market, just come take a look at this facility and take it all in. You know, we're trying to bring a little bit of the big city to the small city.
What has been customer reaction when they come in here? Because I know the first day I came in here, I was a little taken back.
About the same. Most people are taken back. You know, we come here every day, so we kind of get used to it, and it's like looking at it every day. But every time a customer comes in, they're like, holy cow, I haven't seen anything like this in a car dealership. You know, it's so nice, and it's every little detail is to order, and it's worth taking a look at.
Well, there's no question. And a beautiful, beautiful bunch of cars here, too, man.
Oh, yeah.
You got full inventory.
Yeah, we've got almost 100 cars in stock, which for, you know, a luxury dealer, that's quite a few. We've got two SUVs to choose from. We have three sedan vehicles to choose from. We've got electric vehicles in stock now, and it's just everything seems to be flowing and going in the right direction.
An electric Genesis?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
We've got two.
Some people like electric cars. It's not for everybody, but if it's your choice, we've got it for you.
No, well, I understand that.
You use the term, Kevin, luxury automobiles. Is there a certain set of criteria that makes a car a luxury vehicle?
I don't believe that there's an actual criteria, but I think the main thing that you're going to get from a luxury dealer is the type of service you're going to get. Obviously, the car is a little bit more elegantly appointed.
Right.
It's designated for different income classes of people. But what comes with it is the service that you get during the sale, after the sale, the type of dealership you walk into, the responsiveness of the people, the level of preparedness of the staff, the attention to detail by the staff. We can't be something different if we're not different, if that makes any sense whatsoever. I encourage our community and our shoppers to hold us accountable to a different level of service than they'll get at your typical car dealership, because that's what we're striving for. We want to be the best of the best.
Because obviously us old folks, we've heard of Ford and Chevrolet and the ones that have been around for 100 years, but there still might be people that aren't really familiar with Genesis. So what is the genesis of Genesis?
Okay, well, Genesis is its own brand. It's been around 9 years now. The original official kickoff date of Genesis, the brand, was in 2015, and it was a part of the Hyundai Motor Group. It's still, Hyundai is the parent company, but Genesis is a complete separate brand, different dealer agreements, everything like that. But they've taken what they've learned through Hyundai, which has been in the business since the 50s. That's not a new car group.
Right.
Came into the United States 1978, became prominent in 1985. But have taken bits and pieces from that to create what we think for any car under $150,000 is the best value.
Any car under $150,000.
Correct. They compare, you know, they take our GV80, which is our premium sport utility vehicle now, and the designer of that also designed the Bentley sport utility, which cost around $250,000 to $280,000. Now, if you go, you can watch YouTube videos and things like that. They say, is it the Bentley? No, it's not the Bentley, but there's not a $30,000 difference between the car, let alone a $230,000 difference between the car.
So compared to the Hyundai and Genesis has its own chassis. It has its
everything.
Everything is different.
Everything's either rear wheel drive or all wheel drive. And Bob's an old school guy, so he knows what the rear wheel drive is. Where most lines, like you get, like you said, Ford or even our Hyundai brand, everything's front wheel drive. It's just it's a different make of car. It's more of a driver's car. When you put your foot in the gas, you can feel that rear end move a little bit on you, which is what you want. You know, not many front wheel drive race cars in the world. Mostly rear wheel drive.
Well, the toughest thing Bob had to get used to with his Genesis was he wanted to know on the front where the crank was, where you had to, you know, crank it in the front.
Have you ever noticed what good?
I came over and showed him.
Yeah, Kelly, have you ever noticed what good looking people drive Genesis too?
Apparently so, because I'm...
Check, please.
Yeah, mic drop or whatever. Does Taylor Swift drive one, though?
I don't want to talk about Taylor Swift. Yeah. I'll see plenty of her next Sunday.
I'm sure.
When Kansas City plays their next home game.
If she wants to, she can.
Probably wouldn't have to finance it either, would she?
You never know.
Yeah.
Maybe your credit's not good enough.
All right, so you're celebrating your grand... Well, congratulations, man.
Thank you.
A really great addition to the business community, and one of the reasons that we always enjoy doing things with you guys too is you're all such big supporters of Southern Miss, you and Mr. Grubbs, and he does an awful lot behind the scenes for the athletic department. Kevin,
he does, and he continues to do so. At one point in time, I know he paid for the band to show up at the basketball games,
right,
and things like that. I also want to take a minute, you know, and talk about what the community's done for us. You know, we talk about this nice building and everything like that, and Mr. Grubbs has went out and put the money into it, but that money comes from our community. you know, and it's from people supporting us in this community that's built this building.
Yeah.
It's nothing that we've done here. It's their contributions, and they're supporting our businesses over the years.
And you're the only Genesis in Hattiesburg or
in
South?
The state of Mississippi.
Yeah.
And we'll be the only one.
This will be the only Genesis dealership.
Yeah, that's a standalone dealership. That's correct.
Is that right?
That's correct.
I'll be darned. All right, well, grand opening. We, again, encourage everybody to come down here and take a look at this beautiful building. If you want a fantastic car, they are just fantastic cars, and this is a good man here to deal with. I want to talk to you a little bit about football before we run out of the break here.
Uh-oh.
We're long-suffering. You know, you and I are guaranteed entry to heaven, because when St. Peter sees us, he's going to say, well, Redskin fan, hell, you've suffered enough. Come on in here and enjoy paradise. Is that the only... is that the only positive thing we can deem from being a Redskin fan?
I went to their last Super Bowl. That shows, well, that shows how old I was.
Really?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago, Kevin.
1993-94 season.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Minnesota. But,
yeah.
You know, it's been a long drought. We got new ownership. I think things are going in the right direction. It's not going to be a quick rebuild. It took 30 years to mess it up. It's going to take more than one to fix it.
Yeah. Do you remember when, I'm sure you do, when the Cowboy Redskin, that was the rivalry in the National Football League?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I remember Dexter Manley smacking the ball and Darryl Grant running into the end zone to take us to win the Super Bowl against the Dolphins.
Kenny Houston stopping the Dallas running back at the half-yard line.
And how beautiful a spiral Sonny Jurgensen and Billy Kilmer.
Oh, yeah. Kilmer.
Especially Kilmer.
Well, Kilmer could throw it right when he was sober.
Yeah, that was the problem.
Yeah,
that was the problem.
That's when they were smoking cigarettes on the sidelines.
Yeah. I saw that Lenny Dawson picture just the other day of him on the sidelines.
You brought up Kenny Houston. Man, and people talk about great safeties of all times, like Ronnie Lott and Ed Reed. Man, they forget how great Kenny Houston was. He was at least on their level, you know.
Yeah,
just it was
no
a
question.
Different game. If it was a passing game back then,
no
when
question.
He played, he'd be the Mount Rushmore of safeties, I believe.
So tell me this, Kevin, because you're an observer of the NFL, and Kelly can pitch in. Why do some franchises have such a hard time getting in the right direction? And it's not just Washington. There are a lot of franchises that it just year in and year out, it's the same old story. They never seem to get to the upper echelon. What do you think that is?
It's the same as any business. It starts at the top. If you don't have good ownership, good leadership, you're not going to have good people. And that word spreads like mad through, you know, NFL doesn't have that many players and employees. So when things are bad at the level that they are, especially like Washington, we didn't, until the end of Snyder's regime, we didn't know how bad it was. And when these players talk, you're trying to sign free agents and stuff, they're not going to go where it's bad, where the players are treated poorly, no matter what the money is, because at some point they do want to win football games too, and it's hard to attract people when you're a bad business.
But the problem is, too, even if your team stinks in the NFL, you're going to sell out.
Yeah.
Most of your games.
That's correct.
And that's the impetus for making changes in college programs, is nobody's coming to the games. We're losing money.
That's right.
Right? So there's an impetus to change. The NFL, even when your team stinks, the owner's making money.
So breaking the bank.
Yeah, so it's very difficult to have them make that move.
Hail to the Redskins, Kevin.
HTTR, brother.
Kevin Mullins, Genesis of Hattiesburg. We'll talk a little Southern Miss baseball next. That'll put a smile on some faces. We'll be right back.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the road this afternoon. We're at Genesis of Hattiesburg, helping them celebrate their grand opening, and we would encourage you to come by between now and the end of the week to participate in some of the grand opening specials that they have here. Tomorrow on the road, Trust Care Health Facility here on Highway 98, right down the road from where we're at today, actually. So we look forward to being there as well. But right now we want to talk a little Southern Miss baseball. That's right, Southern Miss baseball. Scrimmages start this weekend as fall baseball is now officially underway. Travis Creel, assistant coach, recruiting coordinator, extraordinary guy, joins us here on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. All right, Coach, baseball starting up again this weekend, some new faces in town. Kind of give us an overview, Coach Creel, if you will, of what is the mixture of new kids and kids that everyone is already accustomed to hearing about.
Yeah, I think, you know, this fall we have a 40-man roster. Those 40, I think off the top of my head, 26 are returners with 14 new guys. So, you know, offensively, we're rolling out 15 hitters, 9 returners, 6 new guys. And the pitching staff's got a pretty good amount of new guys with 10 freshmen and a transfer as well. So a good mixture, man, a lot of familiar faces, you know, that everybody knows, but also some new guys, you know, ready to make a name for themselves.
Well, you've had a little time now that baseball is over, and I think we last talked to you right after the regional up in Tennessee, who obviously went on to win the whole thing. But when you look back on last year, Travis, you got to be really satisfied with the way things turned out. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're really, really proud of that team, you know, with all the new guys that we had, you know, as a pitching staff to kind of put it together for the end and, you know, have a good season. And then, you know, offensively, you know, you lose 6 starters off a back-to-back super regional team. And, you know, you lead the Sun Belt in batting. You lead the Sun Belt in doubles. And you know, just to have such a competitive group at the end. But I wasn't scared of the moment. Came out of the loser's bracket to win a couple games in a regional. Obviously won the Sun Belt championship as well. So, you know, very proud of that team just simply because of all the turnover that we had on the roster.
Coach, educate us a little bit as to some of the new NCAA rules. You mentioned a 40-man roster now, but that's going to have to be trimmed down, yes? Kind of take us through the calendar.
Well, it's still kind of up in the air, Kelly. It's okay. You know, they're telling us it could be at 34 by the start of next fall. There's a lot of stuff happening in the courts right now that could delay that. So, honestly, if I'm being completely honest with you, nobody knows. It's a weird time to be a coach. It's a weird time to be a baseball coach when, you know, you don't know what your roster size is going to be, you know, 7-8 months from now. So, yeah, a lot of unknown. Hopefully we find out some stuff in the next couple weeks that kind of, you know, give us some direction on where we need to be at before next fall.
Now, I know you handle the hitters primarily, but I wanted to get your view on particularly some of these young arms, because some of them are so young that they're really still physically growing. I mean, they might weigh 180, you know, in the fall and then come back after Christmas and be 192 or something like that. So what do you look for as these young pitchers not only transition to the college game but into their college bodies, so to speak?
Yeah, you know, I think that's something you identify when you're recruiting. You know, you look for athleticism, you look for arm speed, you look for, you know, the frame of the body that they can grow into and things like that. And it's a good-looking group, man. We got you know, we have 10 freshman arms. All of them are, you know, I say all of them, most of them are really, really big kids. And you know, we have some guys that do different things. Several lefties, several righties. We got some velo. We got some guys that can really spin it. And so far, I'll just tell you this: you know, we've only been here for, you know, about a month now, but this freshman class looks like it's a really good one.
I'll tell you, I know just from talking to a lot of other coaches across the country, you know, JUCO and at the D1 level, they're all scared to death about fall because everybody's competing for positions, but they're so afraid that somebody's going to pop an elbow or that. But that's just part of the world we live in now today, isn't it, Coach? I mean, there's nothing you can really do about that.
Yeah, nothing you can do about it. But also, you know, I think a lot of it falls on the players, you know, shoulders of what they did in the summer and being sure they're prepared to get here and ready to go from the start, because, you know, we only have a certain amount of time with them this fall. So, you know, if they're not ready to jump right into it, you know, they can get left behind for sure. But, you know, we've done something recently, bringing our freshmen in to work out with our strength staff in the summer, and it's been really good getting them kind of initiated before school starts. So, you know, I think, you know, with our arm care program, with Oz and our strength staff, knock on wood, we've been fortunate to stay pretty healthy over the years.
And you not only have to be coaches at this level now with these freshmen, you have to kind of be a big brother, because for a lot of these kids, even though home might only be 70 miles away, it's still the first time they've been out of the house and mom and dad aren't around, and that can be a big adjustment for these guys. I don't care how big and strong they look, some of them are still very much kids at heart, and that's something a lot of people that gets lost in the shuffle, I would think.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I think one thing that we have here, it's kind of, you know, I say unteachable, but it's something that's just been in the program for so long. It's just a great culture of our old guys taking in our new guys and showing the ropes on the field, but also off the field, and how we handle our business and how we operate and, you know, how we act in the community and things like that. So, you know, the culture that you know, we've had for, you know, going back decades, I think is continuing to show with that.
Travis, I believe that culture is a big reason that Southern Miss, with one exception, has never been hurt by the transfer portal like so many big-time college baseball programs have been. Would you agree with that, or am I off base there?
I think you're spot on. I think you're spot on with that. And, you know, I think just the pride in wearing this uniform, you know, like you said, the old guys kind of show the new guys the way. And, yeah, you know, except for that one, you know, we've pretty much held on to everybody we wanted to. And, yeah, hopefully that continues, and I think it will. We've got a great group of guys and people in our locker room, which is, you know, it's always fun when you're working with really good humans.
So let's talk about the scrimmage schedule and how fans can come and watch and some things we can expect to see.
Yeah, so we'll open up this weekend. We'll scrimmage Saturday and Sunday, both at 2 o'clock. We'll start BP roughly at around 12:50 both days. And then after that, probably for the next 5 weeks, we'll go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, three scrimmages a week. So those times will be, you know, to be determined with weather and football games and whatnot. But this weekend's a great opportunity. We play at 2 on Saturday, 2 on Sunday, and, you know, get to see a lot of familiar faces, but a lot of new faces as well.
You know, people that are not familiar with the baseball program, Kelly, be shocked at how many people will be at those scrimmage games.
Well, and now because of the phones and the way that ESPN Plus works, you could be at the baseball game watching the scrimmage while because I think the football game starts at 2 as well.
Yeah.
So you could watch the game on your phone and be there at the baseball scrimmage.
Yeah.
And I think the Dugout Club is actually going to be selling some Baseburg shirts and things to raise money for the Dugout Club as well.
Yeah, Carly never really stops, does she, Travis? I got the email yesterday, and now she's out there selling T-shirts all weekend.
She's a stud, man. She helps make this place go, and I tell you, she makes our lives as assistant coaches, and I'm sure Coach Oz as well, his life just so much easier.
Yeah. All right, now to the important stuff, Travis. Trick-or-treat at the Pete, has that been scheduled yet?
Bob, it has, and I don't have my calendar in front of me. I don't want to say it. We should tweet that out pretty soon. But yes, it has been scheduled, and it's going to be awesome.
What are you going to be, Travis?
I think that's a secret too, Bob. I just be what. We're what Coach Oz tells us we are.
Okay, I got you. Mr. Clean, though, has been permanently retired, right? There'll never be another Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean and the Magician, I think, are long gone.
Yeah, yeah. Pete Taylor Magic, yeah,
yeah.
I can see that. I know it's exciting anytime you get the guys together, and I know that our schedule has not been released, but it was a buzz last week when Mississippi State released theirs, and looks like the first weeknight game of the year it was Mississippi State here. How great is that, Travis, to play home and home with in-state schools? I'd just like to see that every year.
Yeah, no doubt. It's awesome. And, you know, I think Coach Lamonis and Coach Bianco, I think both, you know, want to make that happen. Obviously, there's some logistics that have to be worked out, but you know, I think the biggest holdup was the previous AD at Mississippi State kind of stopped that from happening. And now Coach Lamonis is all on board. We're going to do a home-and-home with them. Ole Miss is kind of still on that same schedule. We'll play them at home every other year, which is awesome too. So, no doubt, you know, we're in the heart of SEC country, so our midweeks are always going to be a really tough schedule. And, you know, I think that definitely benefits us from an RPI standpoint typically.
Well, and
it's a great RPI game for all three schools in Mississippi.
Yeah, and you have to feel good if you're you have to feel good if you're a State fan to think that your program has come so far that you could compete with Southern Miss.
I don't think they've come quite that far, Kelly, but they're working on it.
Well, that's, but I'm saying they're
undoubtedly, Travis, we'll crush them when they come here. Is that not fair to say?
I don't know if that's Travis. Right. We're gonna.
Hey, are you there?
Atmosphere.
He lost our cell signal.
Futuristic comments, but no, it is exciting, man. And I know Coach Oz and Coach Lamona have been working on this for a while, so for them to finally get it worked out was nice.
Hey, always fun having you on the show, Coach. We really appreciate you coming on today.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, Travis Creel at me. He wasn't answering. No,
well, I didn't think he heard us. You know, maybe we did have a bad cell signal.
Well, we are going to crush him.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the road today. We're at Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. And glad to be invited down as part of their grand opening. Going to be taking place all week long here on Highway 98. Come by and check them out. You're going to be really impressed with the showroom and the dealership and, of course, the fine vehicles that they offer. On the road again tomorrow, and we'll be talking health clinics tomorrow, Kelly.
Well, in news and notes, Bob, with Southern Miss, let's start with soccer. The women's soccer team has finished up all of its preseason games and now heads this weekend to James Madison, where they will go to Harrisonburg, Virginia, to take on the Lady Dukes. The Lady Dukes are 1-3-2 overall. The Lady Eagles have come up with one win, but they're 1-4. But again, these are now soccer games that will be played in conference. So the Lady Eagles traveling to James Madison.
That's what's wrong with soccer. They play for ties.
Yeah, they allow ties.
Who plays for ties except soccer players?
Well, I guess you're, it's better than a loss. I mean,
I guess.
And I know.
It's like kissing your sister.
Well, I wouldn't know anything. I wouldn't know anything about that. But let's see. Let's talk about some other the men's golf team. They've just kind of they've not been able to find themselves really on the first two tournaments they've played in. They're right now in 18th place after the second round of the Bearcat Invitational in Cincinnati, Ohio. When you're counting on a freshman, Matthew Javier from Toronto, Ontario, to kind of lead the way along with Will Burnham of Jackson, Mississippi, they're 18th, in the standings so far out of the 26 teams that are participating in that. But they will, Louisville is actually leading the way with a 6-under total. That's in men's golf. And I know, Bob, that you're a big fan of the Super Bowl and halftime shows. Kendrick Lamar, it has been announced, will be the halftime entertainment for the upcoming Super Bowl that will be staged in New Orleans. And I think that's 10 maybe straight hip-hop artists that have been scheduled to perform at halftime. I guess the old days of
rock and roll,
yeah,
don't exist anymore.
No.
Who is this gentleman? I don't
Kendrick Lamar?
I don't really know.
I think he owns some billboard company. I don't
Lamar Sign Company. Oh, I see. No, yeah, that puts it all together.
No, man. Kendrick, I'm not. I don't know a whole lot about Kendrick Lamar's music, no. But I just know that he's. But remember, Jay-Z was hired by the NFL some years
and
back.
That's why we've had 10 straight years of hip-hop music.
Probably so.
The next time you're with Bud Bunny, Bad Bunny?
Bad Bunny.
Bad Bunny. Ask him about this Lamar guy.
I'd like to get Bad Bunny, you know. Yeah. I mean, with the NFL, you know, going to international, mm-hmm. South American, Mexican, you know, the Latin influence is really, you know, big in sports now. Bad Bunny Pitbull is an owner of NASCAR. Mm-hmm. Pitbull's got some NASCAR.
Really not familiar with Pitbull.
You don't know Pitbull either.
That was a breed of dogs.
Well, that is too. Okay. But the one Judge Judy's not a big fan of. But.
Well, I'd heard Taylor Swift was going to do it, but only if Kansas City could have the Super Bowl at Arrowhead Stadium.
Well, there's actual talk that when she planned this latest tour, before she had management book dates, she wanted to have her tour dates coincide with where Kansas City was playing. For example, when they play the Bills later on this year, she's in Toronto the very next night, which is just right across the lake, and so on.
So give me an honest answer. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you're puking all over yourself, how sick of Taylor Swift are you?
I can only go 1 to 10? 10? Look, and that's part of this infatuation with the Kansas City Chiefs too. The NFL
disgusting.
They're eating this up, you know. And if Travis Kelce were to be traded to the Rams, mm-hmm. they'd be all over the Rams. You know, it's I'm just glad to see, though I'm very emotional when it comes to my Bengals. I'm glad to see that other people are seeing what I have seen for years, that Kansas City just gets every single call.
And buddy, I tell you what, they work on the Bengals when they play Kansas City. Work on the Bengals. I don't see how you can deny it.
The Bengals play them closer than anybody else in the league.
The Bengals all played them the whole game.
In every category except that you know.
Except for the P.I.
People say, well, they won that game. I said, no, they didn't. Not when it comes to records, because that's what's determined who goes to the playoffs and who doesn't. So
let me tell you, after what I saw last night, Saints fans all to a great start. I wouldn't be breathing too easy with Tampa and Atlanta in your division. Kirk Cousins looked like the old Kirk Cousins last night. They looked much better.
And you've been saying for years that Baker Mayfield is a lot better than people give him credit for.
And he is.
And I agree. Good to go up to Detroit and beat a very solid – and I mean, they beat Detroit. Detroit didn't lose that game.
Correct.
Tampa Bay won it.
That's going to be quite a battle for the division championship in the division. The Saints.
Remember how everybody thought that division was going to be really weak?
Well, I don't think so.
I think the only
weak team is going to be Carolina.
Yeah.
The Falcons.
And
Carolina looked good last
night. And Carolina's making up for the other three.
They're terrible. Now they've already benched their little miniature quarterback.
as they'd say in the Deep South, bless their hearts.
Yeah, they need some blessing. All right, we're at Trust Care Health Facilities tomorrow on Highway 98. I want to thank Kevin Mullins, our very dear friend, for inviting us down here at Genesis of Hattiesburg today.
And we're working on the voice of the Jacksonville State Gamecocks to join us on the show later
and
this week.
And Oz will be on the show Thursday, and I'm not going to make any comments to him about smoking anybody.
Oh, no, I loved it. I loved it. It was great. Expectations, Bob.
Yep. We're having fun.
We are.
We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.